This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, September 23rd, 2016. Coming up this hour,
the world's largest social network under fire for giving advertisers inflated metrics.
Economic data for the euro area shows growth in Germany weighing on the region.
Options trading from CBOE is in talks to acquire the second biggest exchange operator in U.S. stocks.
A third night of demonstrations were held in Charlotte, North Carolina, but this time more peaceful. Plus pointed words from Turkey's president against the U.S. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A wild and thrilling win for the Mets. 11 innings over the Phillies. Yankees shut out at Tampa Bay. New England shut out Houston in Thursday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg, the first word being brought to you by Herco, an American industrial company with global reach and a long history of disruptive innovation. To learn more about Herco, visit HURCO.com/investors, NASDAQ ticker symbol HURC.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 29, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 7. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. So is the FTSE 100, and the CAC in Paris down 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.3% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about the same. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 1.60%. The yield on the 2-year 0.77%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% or 78 cents to $45.54 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $6 to $13.38.80 an ounce. The euro at $1.1204 and the yen 100.93.
And trading underway in Europe this morning. We're getting the latest reading on growth in the region. And Bloomberg First Word Europe anchor Guy Johnson joins us once again live from London with details. Looks like manufacturing up, what service is down.
Yeah, John, this is really important because this is the worst set of data we've had since the QE program by the ECB kicked off. And it's really something of concern here. Is QE working? So we've had a 52.6 from a reading of 52.9 in August. That's the September number. Anything north of 50, remember, marks growth. But market who do the survey are saying that the numbers point to sluggish growth and effectively getting a very fragile recovery, and you just question whether QE is delivering for the ECB in the way that it once did. So I think we're almost round-tripping on the effect that it is having. One of the concerns also for the ECB at the moment is going to be Deutsche Bank. It's also a concern now, it seems, for German lawmakers. At a closed session of social democratic finance lawmakers this week, Deutsche Bank's woes came up. Plus, there was a debate over the Basel rules. I think this is a very early stage, and there's no kind of suggestion at this stage that they even want to think about some sort of a backstop for Deutsche Bank were it to come to that. But nevertheless, there is concern clearly in Berlin about this $14 billion fine that could come from the United States. It's going to be a big, big story for Europe coming up over the next few weeks. Bob, John, back to you.
All right, Guy Johnson, thank you. Turkey's President Recep Erdogan sat down for an interview with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite to discuss monetary policy, Turkey's economy, and relations with the U.S. Turkey's central bank cut its overnight lending rate this week to 8.25%, and Erdogan, speaking through an interpreter, said it did the right thing and should continue to do so.
I see the last central bank cut as a steady, careful, and balanced cut. Because it's not right to make sudden moves up or down that could contain some violence, that could create a tremor in the economy. But I believe it will be beneficial to continue this steadily.
President Erdogan, who's been running the country for almost 14 years, has strong and unorthodox views on the benefits of lower interest rates. He's frequently clashed with central bankers who take the more conventional view that rates must sometimes be kept high to rein in inflation.
And here in the U.S., Facebook says it has been giving advertisers inflated video metrics for the average time that users spend watching videos. We get more on that story from Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
Facebook's inflated video measurements may have helped boost marketer spending on one of the social network's most popular ad products. The company has been making video a centerpiece of its strategy, and its robust growth in mobile advertising has been driven by strong demand for video spots. Shares of Facebook slid 1.4% in late trading yesterday following the revelation. The company said in a statement that the error has been fixed and it did not impact billing. Facebook executives are scheduled to meet with their top advertisers in New York next week during the Advertising Week conference. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Gina. CBOE Holdings is in talks to acquire Bats Global Markets. That's according to people familiar with the matter. CBOE is a 43-year-old Chicago firm that still runs trading pits where humans buy and sell options. A deal would combine it with Bats' fully electronic exchange. An agreement could be announced within weeks, though no final decision has been made and the talks could still fall apart. Shares of Bats have surged 40% since the initial public offering 5 months ago.
China has approved the trading of credit default swaps for the first time. Stephen Engel has the story now from our Hong Kong bureau.
Investors have been calling for such tools as credit default swaps to hedge credit risks in China. At least 18 local bonds have missed payments so far this year. There were just 7 such cases in all of last year. Liu Dongliang of China Merchants Bank says the development is a very good thing because so far there are no meaningful hedging tools in the domestic market. This potentially takes pressure off the central government from having to bail out bond issuers who default as it spreads out the risks. But then again, banks are the main players in the credit market in China, so those risks will still be within the banking system, but potentially it means the government could allow more corporate failures. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Stephen. The embattled CEO of Wells Fargo has quit a Federal Reserve Advisory Council. John Stumpf was the San Francisco Fed's appointee to the panel. Congress has stepped up the pressure on Wells Fargo after revelations that employees opened 2 million accounts without customers' knowledge. Futures this morning lower. S&P E-mini futures down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 26, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 6. Straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word, the latest world and national headlines. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 5:07 on Wall Street this hour. Bloomberg, the first word being brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit Volvo Cars White Plains. com. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And here's Michael Barnes.
John, thank you very much. Officials in Charlotte, North Carolina ordered a midnight to 6 a.m. curfew after sometimes violent protests over the fatal police shooting of a black man. After the curfew took effect, police allowed the crowd of demonstrators to thin without forcing them off the street. Police said they would not try to arrest curfew violators as long as they were peaceful. Meanwhile, a family attorney for the black man who was shot and killed says the family has seen the video of the shooting death of Keith Scott, but it is unclear whether Scott had a gun. Family attorney Justin Bamberg.
My understanding, based on talking with his family, is that he did not own a gun, that he did not habitually carry a gun.
Police say Scott was armed. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, the family of an unarmed black man who was shot to death by a police officer is expressing satisfaction that the officer has been charged with first-degree manslaughter. Prosecutors say Officer Betty Shelby reacted unreasonably when she fatally shot 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher on a Tulsa street almost a week ago. Tomorrow we'll find out if UK Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has been re-elected by party members. Bloomberg's Eddie Buckle has more from London.
Voting ended on Wednesday, and the result will be announced just before noon tomorrow in Liverpool. Polls and bookmakers agree that Corbyn is set for a clear win over his challenger, Owen Smith. But that won't end the doubts among Labour MPs about whether the party can regain power under Corbyn. The current leader says he wants to wipe the slate clean and the entire party to work together. But Smith has said he won't serve in a Corbyn shadow cabinet. Eddie Buckle, Bloomberg Radio, London.
Spain's caretaker Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy says that he could end the country's political impasse after regional elections this weekend. Bloomberg's Maria Tadao has more from Madrid.
A strong performance from Mariano Rajoy's People's Party may give him the edge he needs to broker a government deal, especially if he gets to play the kingmaker role at a regional level and demand for national support. If Spain fails to elect a new prime minister by the end of October, the nation would be heading for its third election in a year. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Radio, Madrid.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:10 Wall Street. Time now for the Ray Katina, Portia, Bloomberg, NBC Sports Update, and good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. What a game at Citi Field after three straight losses to the last place Braves. The Phillies, who aren't much better, came in and had the lead three different times. Jose Reyes hit a game-tying two-run homer in the ninth inning. Mets fell behind by two in the 11th and then put two on and brought up as Drubal Cabrera.
The 1-0 pitch, breaking ball, hit deep to right field. Borges going back at the track, at the wall. He did it! He did it! Home run as Drubal Cabrera put it in the books. What a dramatic win for the New York Mets, who come piling out of the dugout. They're waiting at home plate to make Cabrera basically disappear.
And WOR took almost 4.5 hours. Took the Mets using a club record 27 players, 10 pitchers, but they outlasted the Phillies 9-8. The Giants won in San Diego. The Cardinals were off. St. Louis half game behind the Mets and Giants in the race to be one of the two wild cards. Mets were hoping to start Steven Matz tonight, first time since mid-August. That has been scratched. As wild as the Mets' victory was, that's how quiet the Yankee loss was at Tampa Bay. Braves won 2-0. Yanks had just 8 singles. Red-hot Red Sox won again, 5-3 at Baltimore, their 8th win in a row. Detroit swept the doubleheader for Minnesota. The Tigers now lead for the second wild card by a half game over the Orioles. The Yanks are 3 out. They're running out of time. As it turned out, it didn't really matter who the Patriots' quarterback was. They were without the still-suspended Tom Brady and the injured Jimmy Garoppolo. They turned to rookie Jacoby Brissett. The defense was the story, pitching a shutout 27-0 over Houston, who had been blanked in the regular season only once before. The Pats are 3-0. Brady's got to sit out one more game. College football, Clemson won at Georgia Tech 26-7. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, thanks, John. And the New York Times is reporting the Carolina Panthers are reviewing security options for Sunday afternoon's home game against the Minnesota Vikings. The move comes in the wake of protests in Charlotte. Fox 46 in Charlotte says moving the game from Bank of America Stadium might be under consideration. You're listening to Bloomberg. Sports Report was brought to you by Ray Katina Porsche, the Porsche Macan, built around the belief that every car should be a sports car. See the 2017 Porsche Macan at Ray Katina Porsche in Addison at the new Porsche Toms River, a Ray Katina dealership.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit Sector, SPDRS.com, or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. This week's rebound in global equities running out of steam as oil retreats from a two-week high and the dollar slide ends. Sovereign bonds are headed for their biggest weekly gain since July, buoyed by central bank commitments to keep monetary policies loose. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, are lower after the Nasdaq rose to another record yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points, Dow E-mini futures down 22, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 4.5. The DAX in Germany's down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 0.3, the yield 1.60%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or 74 cents to $45.58 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.40 to $13.39.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1207, the yen, 100.85. Twitter, down more than 3.5% in early trading. This is after RBC Capital Markets downgraded the shares to underperform. It was based on an RBC survey that found for the first time more marketing departments plan to decrease their ad spending on Twitter than plan to increase it. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. A Syrian monitoring group and a rescue worker say an intense bombing campaign has targeted several neighborhoods in the rebel-held part of Aleppo. The air campaign comes as Syria's military command announced it is launching operations in Aleppo's rebel-held eastern quarters, raising concerns of imminent ground operations. An attempted ceasefire has all but collapsed. The top Democrats on the House and Senate Intelligence Committees say they have concluded that Russian intelligence agencies are making a serious and concerted effort to influence the U.S. presidential election. Dianne Feinstein and Representative Adam Schiff say they believe the orders to do that could come only from very senior levels of the Russian government. In sports, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Red Sox beat the Orioles, the Giants won. In the NFL, the Patriots beat the Texans 27-0 last night. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:20 now on Wall Street, let's bring in our first guest on Bloomberg, the first word this morning. Ian Stanley, fixed income portfolio manager at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, joining us from London this morning. You know, just when you think the bond market rally is over and done with, central banks jump in and, well, things turn around. So let me start, Ian, by asking you the question you probably get all the time. When does the bond market rally end?
Hey, good morning. I think it continues for quite a lot longer because we've still got very accommodative central banks around the world. We've got huge amounts of cash being printed by those central banks, which feeds its way into the bond market. And ultimately, the two things that we always get concerned about, growth and inflation, they're very muted around the world. So people will continue to buy bonds, and I think those yields are going to continue to fall.
People continue to buy bonds. Are they parking money, or are they actually getting significant yield?
It's a good question. I think it's all relative these days, but people are definitely looking around for areas where they can find yield. So moving into the credit markets, the high yield markets, and as we've seen more recently, the emerging markets, maybe shying away from those negatively yielding bonds, but looking for opportunities where maybe they can get a bit of yield and even a bit of capital appreciation if those yields go lower.
So if I'm a customer of yours, what are you going to tell me to buy?
We think this is a very favorable environment for credit. So, say, low growth, low inflation, leading through to accommodative central banks, which means low default rates. That is very positive for the credit markets. And also, we're seeing an improvement in the emerging markets, an unloved asset class for the last couple of years. The fundamental picture is definitely improving there. The valuations look good to us. And I think if a dollar that maybe has reached the extent of the rally, given the Fed sort of pulling back on how much tightening it can do, could be very beneficial for the emerging markets.
Yeah, when you go to EM, you have to consider all those things, and not just the fundamentals, but, significantly, as you say, which way the dollar is going to go at this point. I don't know, pick a country and give me the case for investing in emerging markets specifically.
Well, if you look at areas like Brazil at the moment, obviously it's been tough there. They've been mired in recession and political uncertainty for some time now, but that political picture looks like it's improving. We are starting to see the data pick up, albeit from very low levels, but it's really the valuation which gets people's attention when you're looking at 10-year Brazilian government bonds that yield 12%. There's not many places around the world where you can get that kind of yield on what is an improving story.
The central bank action. You know, we had the Federal Reserve, of course, prior to that, very unusual action from the Bank of Japan targeting the yield curve. Step back for a second, look at this from 30,000 feet. What, as far as the central banks go, running out of ammunition at this point? What's your thought?
I think they are definitely in the final innings of what they can do. I would argue that it's never doubt the creativity of central bankers. We've seen that from the Bank of Japan. They're trying something new. They're trying what we would term yield curve control. The jury's out as to whether it actually works or not. What we've seen since that announcement has been that the yen has strengthened. So maybe that is a case that the market is doubting.
You're going to have to explain that one. Is that a failed policy at this? The yen right now, 100.87. So it's going the wrong way for the Bank of Japan.
It has. There's obviously a couple of things going on there because you've seen a perception that the Fed is going to be on hold or at least not moving rates up as high as they had previously stated. So there's partly the dollar weakness has led to that. But there's definitely a question as to whether the Bank of Japan, with the latest policy, can generate the inflation and the final aggregate demand that they're after. They've obviously struggled to do that so far, given all the policy and tools that they've already deployed. And our sense is that they will probably need to do further easing in the coming months to try to reinvigorate the economy.
Ian, that was great. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Ian Stanley, fixed income portfolio manager, joining us from London this morning, J.P. Morgan Asset Management. And speaking of yields, as we look at the benchmark 10-year yield in the U.S., right now, 1.60.
of percent. The euro 112.07, yen at 188, as I say, sterling 130, and ahead of the market open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now, they are down 3 points. That's down 0.2%. The Dow E-mini futures down 19, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures are 5 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg. First, we're brought to you by M.Y. Safra Bank, a leading name in banking with 150 years of family knowledge and exclusive banking services. Stop in at 499 Park Avenue or visit mysafra.com. Member FDIC.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg, the First Word, being brought to you by Bentley University. What do developing apps at Facebook and analyzing data at Biogen have in common? An MBA from Bentley University, where you'll explore innovation and leadership. Because business is everywhere, prepare here.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Facebook says it's been giving advertisers an inflated metric for the average time users spend watching a video, a measurement that may have helped boost marketer spending on one of Facebook's most popular ad products. The company's stock was down almost 1.4% in extended trading after the miscalculation was reported by the Wall Street Journal.
And according to people familiar with the matter, CBOE Holdings is in talks to acquire Bats Global Markets. The deal would combine a 43-year-old Chicago firm that still runs trading pits where humans buy and sell options with a fully electronic exchange. Sources say an agreement could be announced within weeks, though no final decision has been made. Bats is the second biggest exchange operator in U.S. stocks, the largest in European equities. And last year, it got into the $5 trillion a day currency market.
In Germany, Commerzbank is preparing to cut as many as 5,500 jobs. That's according to a German financial newspaper, which says the cuts are part of a new strategy to boost profitability. Germany's second largest bank may also merge some of its corporate units with its investment bank.
And here in the U.S., 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time, researcher firm Market issues its U.S. manufacturing index for September. Economists forecast the index held steady at 52. And Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word desk.
Data over the past month suggests many businesses remain hesitant to invest in plant and equipment, perhaps as they await the results of the presidential election. Export demand has also been a sore point. Data from the Institute for Supply Management show manufacturing contracted in August for the first time in 6 months. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
And the People's Bank of China has approved rules governing credit default swap trading in the nation's interbank market. The move fuels speculation that authorities will allow more bond delinquencies as the economy slows. The swaps, which provide insurance against bond failures, may help the government rid the economy of so-called zombie companies while ensuring failures don't trigger wider fallout. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points, Dow E-mini futures down 18, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 4. And we were telling you earlier about Facebook. It's moving this morning. It's down 2% in early trading. Straight ahead, the latest world and national headlines. And this is Bloomberg.
And it's 5:33 on Wall Street. This hour of the First Word being brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. And let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. It was a calmer night of protests in Charlotte, North Carolina, after Tuesday's fatal police shooting of a black man. For a third night, demonstrators massed on Charlotte's streets, but there was not the violence and property damage from the previous nights. The mayor enacted a midnight curfew after rioters Wednesday night set fire, smashed windows of downtown buildings, and attacked reporters and others. The white police officer who shot and killed an unarmed black motorist a week ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is being charged with first-degree manslaughter. Prosecutors in Tulsa County allege that in court documents that Officer Betty Shelby reacted unreasonably when she shot Terrence Crutcher. Police say three people died Thursday in a shooting at an East Tennessee factory. The Athens police chief says the shooter's body was found in a bathroom dead of what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. India says Pakistan is a state of terror. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more on the heated words on the UN General Assembly floor in New York.
At the UN, India's Ambassador Enam Gambhir says Pakistan sponsors terror and shields terrorists and points back to 9/11.
The world has not yet forgotten that the trail of that dastardly attack led all the way to Abbottabad in Pakistan.
Meanwhile, Pakistan's Prime Minister Sharif says it is protecting itself and the region.
The international community ignores the danger of rising tensions in South Asia at its own peril.
He says India's continued growth and weapons needs to be watched, as does the rest of South Asia.
Bloomberg's Ed Baxter. Yahoo says the personal information in 500 million accounts was stolen in what's being called a massive security breakdown. Yahoo disclosed the breach yesterday that dates back to late 2014. Yahoo is blaming the hack on a state-sponsored actor. Cybersecurity expert Adam Levin.
You need to change your username and password as quickly as possible, not only for the Yahoo site, but for any other site or any other account you have where you're using the same or similar username and password.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Mike LaBar. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up at 5:36, and time now for the Ray Katina Porsche Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
All right, John, not one but two dramatic home runs for the Mets. First, there was Jose Reyes up with one on one out in the bottom of the ninth, and the Mets trailing the Phillies by two.
2-1 to Reyes. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie game. Aaron Altherr, the right fielder, did all that he could. He climbed the fence in front of the Mets bullpen, tried to reach out, but it's beyond his reach. The New York Mets have tied the game on a two-run homer in the ninth inning by Jose Reyes. Phillies 6, Mets 6.
WOR, the call, Howie Rose. Two innings later, the Mets were down by two again, and as Drubal Cabrera belted a walk-off three-run homer to win 9-8. Mets set a club record using 27 players. Giants won, Cardinals were off in a wild-card race. Mets are tied with San Francisco, and St. Louis falls a half game behind. Yankees with faint hopes, can't afford many losses. Tampa Bay cooled off. Gary Sanchez held the Yanks to eight singles. The Rays won 2-0, and Masahiro Tanaka is going to miss his next start with a sore arm. Red Sox starting to pull away in the AL East, an eighth straight win, 5-3 at Baltimore. Detroit took over the second wild card lead with a doubleheader sweep at Minnesota. Tom Brady has yet to take a snap. Rob Gronkowski is yet to catch a pass. Patriots are still 3-0. 27-0 over Houston, who actually outgained the Pats, but had three turnovers, two fumbles on kickoff returns. LeGarrette Blount had 105 yards and two TDs. Rookie Jacoby Brissett, mistake-free, had a 27-yard touchdown run. Clemson beat Georgia Tech 26-7. Clemson eyeing a showdown with Louisville in 8 days. Three-way tie at the Tour Championship. Dustin Johnson, Kevin Chappelle, Hideki Matsuyama, all four under par. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, thanks, John. And coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street, time now for the T2 Computer Tri-State Business Report. And good morning to you, Ed Curry.
Hey, John Harris in Atlantic City is getting a $30 million makeover. The casino will redo 450 rooms and suites in its Bayview Tower. This work will begin in mid-November. Should be finished by Memorial Day weekend next year. Harris is number two among the city's eight casinos, trailing its neighbor, the Borgata, in gambling revenue. Lockheed Martin will get up to $220 million in financial incentives from Connecticut in exchange for staying in the state and increasing jobs at Sikorsky Aircraft. Under this deal, the Sikorsky will remain in Connecticut, nearly double spending in the state suppliers and increasing its capital spending for machinery and equipment. Norway's biggest lender, DNB, will move its North American headquarters to 30 Hudson Yards on Manhattan's far west side, leaving the MetLife building in Midtown, where it's been since 1995. The bank will take the 68th floor in the 90-story skyscraper. That's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. Harvard University's endowment is reporting a 2% annual investment loss. This is its searches for new leadership amid a year of turmoil. Let's get more on the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
It magnifies a decade of lackluster returns compared with the school's elite rivals. The world's biggest college fund shrank by $1.9 billion to $35.7 billion after also accounting for ever-expanding spending on buildings, scholarships, and research. Harvard blames the outsized loss for the year ending June 30th, primarily on poor investments in stocks as well as natural resource holdings in South America. Harvard's endowment chief, Stephen Blythe, a former Deutsche Bank bond trader, left in July after only 18 months on the job. The board is now conducting the fourth search for a new leader since 2005. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
And Harvard is also in the news for a deal it struck with Monsanto and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Monsanto has reached an agreement with Harvard and MIT to use their CRISPR genome editing techniques. Gene editing technology typically modifies an organism's DNA without introducing foreign genes. It's attractive for Monsanto because it can cut development costs while it is also less regulated than more established genetic engineering techniques. In technology news, Google will begin using its cloud services to test blockchain technologies for banks. With a move, Google enters an area where IBM, Microsoft, and Amazon have been courting clients for the past year. Royal Bank of Scotland Group will employ Google servers for a trial of a new blockchain application. That's according to consulting firm GFT, which says Google's cloud services will also be used by other banks that are clients of the firm. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now, 3 points lower. That's down a tenth of a percent. Dow futures down 14. This is Bloomberg. The Tri-State Business Report brought to you by T2, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Coming up, the Bloomberg Law Brief is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 85 years. More at ADR.org. And U.S. stock index futures, they're moving lower this morning, but they've trimmed their declines. Now they're really little change to lower. S&P E-mini futures are down about 2 points. Dow E-mini futures down 7, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 3. The DAX in Germany's down less than a tenth of a percent now. The CAC in Paris down 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield 1.61%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.77%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.7%, down 29 cents to $46.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $4.80 to $13.39.90 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, police cleared out of downtown Chicago, of Charlotte, rather, in North Carolina after a night of mostly peaceful protest. The city's mayor imposed a midnight to 6 a.m. curfew after 3 days of protest over the deadly police shooting of a black man on Tuesday. Several dozen protesters did spill onto an interstate last night and stood in the middle of a highway, but were pushed back by police officers in riot gear. Tropical storm Carl is forecast to pass just east of Bermuda early tomorrow. Carl's maximum sustained winds this morning have increased to near 60 miles per hour. In sports, the Yankees lost. The Mets won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The Giants won. In the NFL, the Patriots downed the Texans 27-0 last night. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 of Wall Street. Time now to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We are joined now by Jennifer Ryan in our London bureau. Good morning to you, Jen.
Good morning.
You know, I have a free trial to HBO, and they've been playing this movie over and over and over again, Beautiful Mind, about John Nash. And there's a scene in that movie where they're sitting in a bar, he, John Nash and his friends, and they come up with a solution to get a date with a beautiful girl. It's his work on solutions to competitive games. And Vodafone's kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. I can tell you about Vodafone, but now I'm also thinking about Russell Crowe at the same time. So it's
well, stay focused, Jen.
I know. I'll do my best. I'll do my best. So here's what we've written on Vodafone. There's auction of spectrum, government auction of spectrum happening in India, $83 billion this is. And John Nash does figure into this because what our writer in Asia has written is that the way Vodafone is approaching this looks like it was a strategy that could well have been designed by John Nash or Russell Crowe, if you prefer. So what Vodafone's done is it's made a $7 billion equity investment in the country. It's got a big presence there. And it's in the market for this spectrum. It really does need it. But this move that it's done will have one of two effects on its competitors. Either it will scare them into submission and Vodafone will get to buy the spectrum without spending an arm and a leg. Vodafone's recently cut its debt, and so its competitors might say, oh gosh, we might need to cut our debt as well. The alternative is that if this produces some warrior spirit in Indian billionaires that control a lot of the mobile phone companies there, they might wind up wildly overpaying for the spectrum, and then they'll start to bleed themselves, and that might leave Vodafone in a relatively better position. So it's sort of, you're either trying to get in a date in the bar, or you could start thinking about Paul Simon's Mrs. Robinson. Every way you look at this, you lose. And that might be what Vodafone's strategy winds up looking like.
Okay. I think I get it. on to our next story. And this story reminds me when the government blames the weather for a decline in retail sales. If a company gets hacked, it has to break the news kind of red-faced to its customers. But maybe they get a pass depending on just who the hacker is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it seems to be. I mean, our writer, Tim Culpin in Taipei, has taken sort of two views on this. On the one hand, he says, come on, it's a hack. You know, that looks like a little bit of PR spin here. I mean, it's kind of almost victim blaming. You know, it's not something that we can buy because, you know, this is your tech company. You need to sort this out. And you don't get a free pass because it could be a government-sponsored entity.
So if you blame North Korea for hacking into your system, everybody's like, oh, it's North Korea's fault. It's not the company's fault.
There is an element of that. But in addition, Tim pushes the point a little bit further and he says, okay, so you've been hacked. Well, if it's a state-sponsored entity, that's actually not the worst possible scenario. Because think of the motivation of a government-sponsored hacker. It's more likely to be looking for strategically valuable information. So that's good if you're the average Joe teaching gym at your local high school because no one's going to be interested in you.
North Korea is not interested in my data. I'm shocked. Jen, we're going to have to leave it there. Okay. But thank you very much. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com. GAFL wiretapping GADF. Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
All right, and now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso discusses the insider trading allegations against Leon Cooperman. She speaks with Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business and Michigan Law School, and Richard Painter, a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School.
Eric, what is the SEC's case basically against Cooperman?
The case alleges that Cooperman himself talked by phone with executives at a company that was about to try to turn itself around by selling off some of its operations. And that Cooperman himself, while he was a big shareholder and had access to this executive, got confidential information about the deal and bought securities on the basis of that. So it's not like some of the insider trading cases we've seen where there is some kind of grubby in-between guy or a remote tippy. The SEC claims that it has evidence that Cooperman himself got the information and used it.
Richard, is it important if Cooperman promised or did not promise to keep that information secret?
That is very important. If he promised to keep it secret and entered into a relationship of trust and confidence process we call going over the wall, in effect being willing to be inside the wall of confidence, that means he should not and cannot legally use that information for trading. If, on the other hand, he did not make any such promise, the question is whether there was a relationship of trust and confidence before And that would be a lot harder to establish. We have a company which has disclosed information, yes, to a large shareholder, but it's a large shareholder who's a hedge fund manager. And hedge fund managers trade, and we would think the company would know that he is a hedge fund manager, would be trading, unless they entered into an explicit relationship of trust and confidence.
Eric, Cooperman sent out a 5-page rebuttal to investors. What was his strongest defense?
You know, I don't think he launched a strong defense. He says that I conduct fundamental research that includes face-to-face communications with management, that that's appropriate, that it's well established in the industry, and necessary. That's about the strongest thing he says. But then he gets into things that show that he's an angry guy. He says people should read some books, one called Three Felonies a Day, The Feds Who Target the Innocent. And he does some diversionary stuff. He says our investment in this company was less than 0.008% of our assets under management. That's just irrelevant. So in the end, the SEC is either going to have the evidence it claims it does or not. But the legal lines are pretty clear here. We don't have one of those up-in-the-air legal issues like we had in the Newman case where we saw some things being overturned.
That's Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business and Michigan Law School, and Richard Painter, a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Yeah, that is this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. Find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
Futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points, Dow E-mini futures down 16, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 6. And this is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has filed a continuing resolution to fund the government through December. The measure provides $1.1 billion in Zika funds and $500 million in disaster money for Louisiana and other states. But it also includes riders opposed by Democrats and offers no assistance for Flint, Michigan for drinking water contamination. Lawmakers have 4 days to consider the resolution before a vote. Sugar could be the next tobacco. Attorneys predict an increase in suits over foods with added sugar that are marketed as healthful. This includes cereals, snack bars, and beverages, and it centers on sugars that do not occur naturally in foods but are added during processing. And the rusty-patched bumblebee could be designated as endangered. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposal would make it the first bee species on the list. Its declining population is found from Minnesota and Maine south to Tennessee and North Carolina.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit BNA.com.